So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:18. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Psalm 8:4. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 149:20. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14a. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3:1-4. Well, I think you can tell from these verses that the Bible has a tremendous amount to teach us about how people, including our children, ought to think about themselves. And that's really the question behind the whole self-esteem movement today. How are we to think about ourselves? That's what I want to look at with you this morning, and then again, God willing, next Sabbath morning, as we address the subject, teaching children self-esteem? Let's pray together. Gracious God, as we approach this very important subject in which the world has had such a powerful influence upon us, we pray that we might know in what ways we are to promote self-esteem in our children and what ways we are not, and that we might receive insight to that end from the Word of God itself. So please help us this morning and next week in this class to address this subject in a way that really might help these dear parents to know how to approach their own children in the home in terms of building up children's thoughts about themselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, we and our children are bombarded by the psychological mandate to build a positive self-image in our children. And this psychology has also permeated the church. Many popular teachers in the church today are spreading the mantra of this movement by saying things like this: God just wants you to feel good about yourself. And since you are special, you must feel free to believe in you. Much like the atheist that I sat next to on a plane a few weeks ago, said he didn't believe in God. I asked him what he did believe, and he said, I believe in me. I believe in me. Now, anything that's detrimental to this positive self-image today is rejected. And so the doctrines of human corruption, total depravity, need for repentance, the wrath of God, and the torments of hell get downplayed, if they're spoken about at all, from many modern American pulpits. And we're told that all these ideas are outdated, for they demean the inherent worth of persons and damage our self-esteem. Now, we believe, of course, that God is sovereign over all things. So we must submit our will to His Word in nurturing our children. We believe that the Bible is the best textbook on the market for child-rearing because it comes from the mouth of God Himself, with the Thus saith the Lord. So we cannot teach our children what we feel we want to teach them, but we have to teach them what God's Word tells us to teach them. And God's Word does not say to us, your major task in parenting is just simply to make your children feel good about themselves. Rather, we must teach our children how God views them, and then teach them a view of self that values the biblical picture of God, man, our fall into sin, and finding forgiveness through salvation in Christ, and finding our identity, and if you want to use the word, our positive image, I put it in quotes, in Christ. So in this biblical view of self, there are negative and there are positive elements. And we must teach our children both of them if they're going to have an accurate image of self. So we want to do three things. The first is we want to define, expound the need for a biblical self-image. That's what we're going to do this morning. That's the first part of your outline. 6 points. And then secondly, next week, we want to deal with the self-image of our unsaved children. And thirdly, also hopefully next week, help children whose self-image is too self-centered, which is obviously a common problem. So that's why the outline has three major points: developing a biblical self-image, developing a biblical self-image in unsaved children, and avoiding the danger of a self-centered self-image. We'll look at just the first one this morning. The first thing we need to understand to bring a biblical self-image to our children is we need to teach them how we were created. And the biblical account of human origins is thrilling. It's exciting. It's glorious. It's 10,000 times richer than the theory of evolution. You see, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And we must teach our children that. While God was content to call every other creature into being in this whole world, just with a simple word of His command, let there be fish, and there's fish. Let there be birds, and there's birds. When it comes to man, the whole triune God got involved and began to create and shape the body of Adam from the dust of the earth, and then breathe into him so that he became a living soul. And then God made woman from out of the side of Adam, from a rib, and formed and fashioned her in her beauty to be a fitting partner for the man. Heidelberg Catechism says it this way: God created man good and after His own image in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God, His Creator, heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise Him. So we need to say to our children, dear son, dear daughter, this is how you and I, in our covenant head Adam, were made. This is how we came into the world in humanity. God built up everything in the whole world. He made everything. And then he saved everything for the apex and the crown of his creation, which was you and me. And he brought us into this glorious garden we call paradise, or the Garden of Eden, fully formed and fashioned as the crown, the apex of his creation. And so everything we are, our hands, our eyes, our ears, our feet, our especially our soul, we need to dedicate it all to this glorious God who made us so wonderfully. But, of course, that's not the end of the story. So we need to teach our children about the reality of human sin and depravity, what we call our fallenness. So it is impossible, you see, to teach children how to view themselves if they don't know how they were created in pristine glory, and if they don't know how we fell into profound iniquity. The original design of creation teaches our children not that God exists to make much of them, but rather that they exist to make much of God. And so whenever they don't make much of God, and that includes us as parents, we are running counter to the very purpose for why we were put here on this earth. We are not glorifying God then above all. We're not loving him above all. And we are then sinning, and God hates the wicked every day. And so our sin and our fallenness is a very, very serious condition. In fact, it is an attack upon the glorious God who made us. And we must tell our children that. You see, by nature, we do exactly what Adam and Eve did. We try to build ourselves up and become like God. And that's why you get this whole mentality today of, I just believe in me and I just want to be me, and anybody that doesn't like me as me is in the way, and I reject them. Even this past week, I had a lengthy conversation with a person who said, well, that person makes me feel uncomfortable because that person's telling me I'm not living right. And of course, this person's living in sin. And so I just block that person out of my life because I want to be around people who just love me for me, because I just want to be happy myself. And so this person is building up a self-image in a way totally divorced of God. So I said, well, what does God say when you bring that to him? Does God approve of that? Well, I don't know. Well, you don't know. Do you pray to God? Well, not really. I should, but I don't. Well, why don't you start praying to God? Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. That should send a big red flag up in your mind. You don't want to be a hypocrite, my friend. When you pray to God, you're living in so much sin right now, you feel like you can't pray to God. Something's very wrong in your life. You're trying to be a God to yourself. Well, maybe I am. So this whole idea that you build yourself up and you become like God and everybody's got to kowtow to you and worship you and your feelings and affirm you and everything you do because you're okay and I'm okay and everybody's okay is unbiblically motivated. It's biblically not okay to say that everybody's okay. We have fallen. We were in an original state of righteousness. We had knowledge and righteousness and holiness, and we chose ignorance and perversity and unrighteousness. And man, therefore, by the instigation of the devil, says our catechism, and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and his posterity, that's you too, dear children, of the divine gifts, our original goodness, righteousness, and holiness. We're in trouble. So these two doctrines, human creation, and the fall are essential to a right understanding of human nature and human experience. We value human life, and we punish murder because human beings are made in the image of God. And we teach our children that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that now we are so corrupt that we're wholly incapable of doing any good, inclined to all wickedness, except we're regenerated by the Spirit of God. So anything to do with a positive self-image has to somehow be connected with God. Because by nature, we've divorced ourselves from God and we're on our way to hell. And we're not allowed to have a positive self-image. Now, what happens, of course, is we want to be like God. We want to be gods to ourselves. We want to be like Adam and Eve in that sense. And so we become idolatrously self-centered by nature. Anyone here have to teach any one of your children to be self-centered? A single one of them. Of course not. It lives within them because they're depraved. And so by nature, we turn a blind eye to our own faults, and we thank God, if we think of Him at all, that we're not as sinful as other people. Our self-image by nature needs radical correction. So thirdly, see on the outline, we must teach our children that they're sinners. As a form of baptism says, we and our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath. And they're alienated from God and cannot submit to the law of God by nature, Romans 8, verse 7. And from an eternal perspective, they're headed for destruction. We must press that upon their consciences. That in our flesh, our natural flesh, apart from Christ, there is no good thing. That's radical. I know it's radical, but it's radically biblical. I know, says Paul, in my flesh there's no good thing. So we can't fool our children. We can't say, oh, well, that's the things you hear in church. You hear total depravity in church, no good thing in church, but that's got nothing to do with your daily life. You're just wonderful, my dear. You've got, you're unconverted, but you're just absolutely wonderful, and there's nothing wrong with you, and I just need to affirm you and build you up. Is that what the Bible does? Of course not. What we must do is we must love our children, affirm them that they're our children, affirm them that God has brought them into covenant with Himself through baptism, and that they need to respond to that. Yes, of course. But we must also say to them, the only way to respond to that rightly is you've got to repent of your sin. And you get to find true positive self-identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. True self-esteem is grounded in Christ esteem. And so you need to fly to the Savior, my dear son, my dear daughter. The foundation for a healthy self-image is by focusing on Him. And so, point four, we need to teach our children the necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must show them that apart from Christ, their images are hopelessly defaced. From God's perspective, they're sinners who deserve hell and death, and they keep sinning every day. But if they may bow under the Lord and flee to the Savior by faith and rest in Him, they're saved, and they will receive the full pardon of their sins, and they'll stand justified in God's presence. So ultimately, see, and here's the bottom line. Our children need to be taught that only in a personal relationship with the Savior can they have a true, positive self-image. Because that's where self is renovated, to be positive. Doesn't mean they still don't grapple with sin. Doesn't mean you should then minimize sin. Of course not. But it does mean, Romans 6:11, that when once we're saved, we're to count ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when our children are saved, we can tell them, I and you both, neither one of us have any business sinning because we're Christians. Our identity, our self-esteem rests in Christ. And when we sin, we're contradicting who we are in Christ. When we sin, we're really lowering our own self-image because we're acting like we're not Christians when we really are. We're contradicting who we are. So Christ's esteem is foundational for self-esteem. Thus we are to, in a variety of ways, by immersing our children in the Scriptures and the doctrines of the church, teach our children who they really are, apart from Christ, teach them who they can be in Christ, and show them the way to Christ, so that they realign their thinking about themselves as they begin to understand, under our teaching, the sinfulness of their own hearts. And all the while, we are to be praying that the Holy Spirit applies that to them, so they understand, not just with their mind, but with their soul, who they are and what they need. Now, that's the framework of a biblical self-image. I need to add two more important things here, though. It doesn't mean that once your child's a believer, you say, now everything's okay with you, and so you need no more correction. No, we know there's still a tug of war going on, Romans 7. The good that I would have find myself not doing, the evil that I would not find myself doing, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. As real that is in you as an adult, that is every bit as real in a child that is saved as well. And so, in a biblical self-image, your job isn't done just once your child gets saved, but you got to keep working at it. And how do you keep working at it? Well, one way you keep working at it is you keep calling your children to account for acts of disobedience, and you praise them for when they do obey. Now, that's true even for unconverted children, even upon outward obedience. But we'll talk more about that next week, God willing, how to approach unsaved children. We must always show our children, that too, saved and unsaved, that the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13, verse 15, that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. And that their evil actions, so long as they're not in Christ, stem from an impure heart. And so, as we discipline them for acts of disobedience, moral infractions against the law of God, we are training them to understand the justice system of God, that morally corrupt actions evoke divine discipline in the form of punishment. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. At the same time, we should praise our children when they do good things. Notice how the Lord handled even Cain that way. Genesis 4, verse 7. Stressing that truly good actions proceed from the gracious work of God. Romans 2, verse 14. So our aim is to teach our children to learn what it is in the heart that makes us bad people or good people, That it's not our external appearances, it's not our actions or our circumstances per se, but it's what lives in the heart. So we must teach them through behavior, through conversation, through example, through scripture, to value motivation, especially as they grow older, more than external performance. And that's tough. That's tough to do as parents. As long as our kids do what we tell them to do, we're prone to leave well enough alone, aren't we? But remember the title of Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding Their Heart. That's the goal in child rearing. Shepherding, forming that child's heart from early on. 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. According to the age level, molding within that child a proper self-image in the Lord Jesus Christ as the great object of esteem. And then, sixthly, we are to teach our children also to take a very hard look at the world's message of a positive self-image. You see, our world today is constantly telling children that self-image and self-worth depends on a whole bunch of external things. First of all, it depends on their looks. That's the message everywhere, isn't it? From billboard advertising to the social media, everywhere. And it depends on their clothes, if they wear the right styles and the right fashions. It depends on their friends, if their friends are cool and popular. It depends on their possessions, what they own, what they have. Do they have the latest gadget? Do they have what everybody else has at school? That's what our society tells young people today and children. You are valuable because, well, you look cool, and you've got cool friends, and you've got cool possessions, you've got cool clothes. It's all cool, cool, cool. That's important. And society doesn't say, you know what really matters? What you're like inside. What your heart is like. You know what really matters? Turn with me, my son. Let's look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. What really matters is what you are before God in your soul. That's what's important in life. That's tough. That's tough to keep emphasizing that in a way that's loving and persuasive. But in one way or another, by our example, by our teaching, we've got to send that message to our children, I think, thousands of times. Because they're getting it thousands of times from the world, exactly counter to us. We've got a huge wall to push back here. And those of you who are a bit older, you know, and I know, that when we grew up, it was a physical world too. But it's not. We grew up in a world of, like, it's probably 25% as physical oriented as the present world. This world today is incredible. American society is absolutely incredible. I don't say the whole world, especially American society. And all societies in the world today that have a lot of possessions. Everything is just focused on the physical, 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 physical. That's why it's so good for our young people to do things like go to Mexico and see these poor children who have nothing but a dirt floor. And they're smiling and they're happy. So we need to help our children to understand that the way to make a name for themselves is not through all these methods, but to be godly and humble in the sight of God. Because if our name is in His book, we really have everything. So our children need to examine their self-image in terms of the gospel, in terms of the Bible, in terms of God. Maybe one good way to do that would be to bring your children back to Hebrews 11 and say, now, children, we want to study this chapter. All the Old Testament saints, these are people for 4,000 years. Who are the heroes? Who are the people that really should be emulated? Well, here they are, Hebrews 11. They're all people who live by faith. By faith Abel, by faith Abraham, by faith. So that tells you, first of all, children, that the only way to live in God's sight with a positive self-image in Christ is to live by faith in Christ. But secondly, did you notice when we go through this list, children, do you notice that nothing surrounds physical things? In fact, the opposite. By faith, Abraham looked for a city foundation whose a city whose foundation and builder and maker is God. By faith, Moses despised the riches of Egypt. He cast his lot in with the despised people of God. You see, this is the way to live, by faith. Hebrews 11 again and again and again says, the race is not to the strong, the beautiful, or the wealthy. God doesn't focus on these things. God seeks people to live by faith. Now, children, you do have great self-worth because you have a soul, even if you're unsaved. But to be highly esteemed by God, you've got to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be judged by your faith. And so faith is the priceless treasure we should cultivate in our children. Faith in Christ. Faith is the chief characteristic of the self-image we want to develop in them so that they learn to think of themselves as believers in the true sense of the word. I want to live by faith. I want to speak by faith. I want to act by faith. I want to think by faith. Oh, I think we all fail in really impressing that upon our children rightly. This is the way to live. This is the way to die. Teaching our children, do you want a positive self-image? Want real self-esteem? Fly to Christ. Find your identity in Him. And develop Christ's esteem. And then you'll be able to say, yes, by faith, He's my Savior. And I'm valuable to Him. And therefore, I want to live wholly for Him. And my self-esteem comes from belonging to Him. I value myself. I value my time. I value the energy He's given me and the strength because I want to use my gifts to His glory. This is how we develop a biblical self-image in our children. We'll continue next week in the last two thoughts. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank Thee so much for biblical psychology, as it were, that gives us the true view of human nature and the fall and regeneration and faith and the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone we are saved. We pray that our children may find that Savior, and may know what it means to love him and serve him and fear him and rejoice in him and find their identity in him and their victory and their glory in him and be excited about him and fall in love with him and cry out, he's the chief among 10,000. He's the white and ruddy one. He's altogether lovely. His arms, his hands, his legs. His legs are as pillars of marble. He's a strong one. Oh, help them, Lord, to fly to the Savior and find their identity in him, their esteem in him, and count themselves dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.